Hallelujah. Good morning, church. It's great that we have Christmas, and hopefully we can enjoy Christmas together. And this is a good time for us to bring some of our friends to church. We still have lots of spaces among us, and so don't think that, oh, we don't have seats anymore. No, we have a lot of seats. Hallelujah. And we are able to still further expand this small hall, and to further expand it, and we can sit for about 200. And so don't worry, just bring your friends. Amen. Tell your neighbor, bring your friends here. Amen. Hallelujah. Today we will continue the series of David. Say together, David. David is a very special person, a very special figure in the whole Bible, you know. And in the Bible, we have a lot of records about Jesus Christ and a lot of records about other figures. But this, probably the second person that mostly recorded in the Bible is David. We got lots of stories or lots of events that happened around this important figure. And in the Old Testament, because of the influence of David, we know that he becomes the greatest king ever in the history of Israel. And he, on the one hand, he is a very important, influential king in Israel. On the other hand, he's a warrior, and he is also a psalmist. He created a lot of psalms. And on the other hand, he is also a very, very real, genuine worshiper of the Lord. Say together, worshiper. We are also here to worship our Lord. And David is a very, very typical person who is having a heart, a real heart for the Lord, and he really worshiped the Lord. So the most important character of him is he is a good worshiper. So today, let's spend some time all together to know more about this important person, how he worshiped our Lord as a real, a genuine, and true worshiper. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, thank you for gathering us here to worship you. And we are learning how to worship you. And we are learning how to follow your footsteps. As you read through the Bible, we read that the very important task of us, very important purpose of our life, is to worship you, O Lord. And we come to your chapel, we come to your presence, we come to you here, we just want to worship you. And now, as we open our Bible, O Lord, open our eyes. Tell us how we can really please you. Tell us how we can really worship you. This time is yours. O Lord, guide us into your truth. As the Holy Spirit moved in our heart, let us all know your will and be strengthened and empowered to walk in accordance to your will. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Should we turn the Bible to the book of Psalm 29, verse 1 to verse 2. Shall we read it all together? 1, 2, 3. These are two verses written by David. And David encouraged us to worship our Lord. Ascribe to him the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. And all through the Bible, we are able to read a lot of psalms written by David. He is really a good worshiper. And as we know that David is very, very good in music. Wow, say together, music. We also have a lot of people among us too, who are very good in music. Dave and Vic, they're very good in music. And I sense the Holy Spirit in them. And they're able to play anointed song. And David is not just good in music. He can create a musical instrument. So in the 2 Samuel chapter 6, we read that David invented, created a lot of instruments for music. And also in the Bible, in all through the book of Psalms, we are able to read a lot of Psalms written also by David. Psalm chapter 16, chapter 23, chapter 95, 110, all these Psalms are written by David. So we know that we are able to read a lot of the composition of David. David, actually, he was a really wonderful musician. And because of his worshiping heart, even after he became the king of Israel, he organized the whole choir, temple choir. And so he recruited a lot of musicians all together to present good songs for the Lord. He's a good musician. And today we have a group of wonderful Filipino dancing among us. Is it great? Yeah, give our Lord a big hand first. Hallelujah. Wow. Wonderful dancing. And you know, David is also a good dancer. He can dance. Woo, woo, woo. Wow. Mike can dance also? Wow, wonderful. Maybe someday you can present. David is a good musician, a good psalmist, a good dancer, good worshiper. He's really a wonderful musician and worshiper. Yet, the most important character of David is not his talent, not his skill, not his fighting skill, not his musical skill. The most important character that really pleased God is his worshiping heart. Say together, worshiping heart. So he's a real worshiper. And all through the Bible, he really treasured the relationship with our Lord. And he really want to worship him. So we can read from all these Psalms, including the Psalms we have mentioned weeks ago, is that Psalms 23. And you know, this is a very important lifestyle of David. He always prayed anywhere he goes, even when he was pursued by his enemy. Even the enemy was about to scare to grab him, he still continued praying, worshiping to the Lord. Being a genuine, a true worshiper, we also need to learn how to be a good worshiper. Say together, good worshiper. There are at least 4 perspectives we can learn from David how to be a genuine, how to be a true worshiper of the Lord. First, a true worshiper pursue the glory of God. Say together, the glory of God. He really loved to see the glory of God. Do you want to enjoy being in the glory, the presence of the Lord? Amen. And we have a very good congregation here. And you know, when I watch you all raise your hands to worship to the Lord God, receive all the glory and praise. Amen. And we spend some money here to dedicate this. Actually, it is the cafeteria of the school. And it seems that, it become a small church. Hallelujah. Is that great? Yeah. So we also are thankful to Pastor Kwok. He's the one who lead this renovation. So that here, in this place, we can all worship together with a nicer place. And David is the person who really loved to see the glory of God. Say together, glory of God. He really want to glorify the Lord. He cannot endure people blaspheming our Lord. He cannot endure the enemy cursing our Lord. And so when he fights against the giant and Goliath, we read that David said, "Who is this man? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he to defy the enemies of the living God?" Why David becomes so angry because the enemy defies the Lord's name. He becomes angry. Brothers and sisters, because it's the glory of God. He cannot endure people, especially the enemy, defying God's name. So he fights. Even though he is just a young man, he has no skill in fighting in the war. He is used to be playing with stones, sling. That's it. But because of his anger, because he really want to see the glory of God, he cannot endure people defying the name of the God of his God. And so he goes and fights against the giant. You know, he has a heart. Although he is a person that when he becomes the king of Israel, he can enjoy being in the palace. Yet in his heart, he cannot endure God still dwell in the tabernacle. So he has a heart that, oh, I should build a church. I should build a temple for God. I should build a great temple for God. So in the second Chronicles, we read at chapter 22, verse 5. We read that David said, oh, my son Solomon is now too young and inexperienced, and the house is to be built for the Lord. Built for the Lord. He wants to build a house, the temple for the Lord. And the Lord's temple should be of great magnificence and fame and splendor in the sight of the nations. Wow, you know his heart. You know his heart. Wow, God's temple should be splendor, should be great. And all the nations will know that this is the house of God. This is his heart. This is his heart. Brothers and sisters, this is David. David really, he is really concerned about the glory of God. What he did is for the glory of God. This is worship. Say together, worship. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, St. Paul encouraged us that, so whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it for all, for the glory of God. Say together, glory of God. This is worship. Worship is whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Amen? Many of us are working in the marketplace. I do it for the glory of God. I'm pastor. I'm pastoring for the glory of God. Even if you are Korean, housewife, full-time housewife, yeah. Be a good housewife for the glory of God. Amen? Even you are a Filipino, a domestic helper, do it for the glory of God. Amen? Even you dance for the glory of God. Hallelujah! Long, 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 long time ago, I also have a domestic helper when my kids were still young. And I taught her how to cook. And at last, she can cook better than I can. Wow, wonderful! Wonderful domestic helper. And she really worked hard and do her best for the glory of God. You know, when you are doing good, okay, the salary is the same. Doing bad, the salary is also the same. You know, no difference. We are not doing for just the salary. We are doing for the glory of God. Amen? So the people will know that, wow, people can see the glory through you. Hallelujah. I'm really appreciating my domestic helper. She's really very, very good. And so I can just enjoy being at home. Because I do not need to worry anything. She can do anything. Oh, everything. Including cooking, child care, and cleaning. Everything. And not just that. Even if my wife becomes sick, she can come and pray for her. Just like a pastor, you know. Wow. And once, when she wrote a Christmas card for me, and I can read the 3-point form, just like a sermon. Just like a sermon, you know. How wonderful this made. Wow. do it for the glory of God. Amen? Amen? This is worship. Say together, worship. Secondly, true worshiper totally submitted to the sovereignty of God. Say together, sovereignty of God. You know, God, when David has a heart to build the temple for God, he really wants the temple to be magnificent, great, for the glory of God. The heart is good. But somehow, Nathan, the prophet Nathan, came to David. No, you cannot do it. Why? I really have a heart to build the temple of God. Sorry, you cannot do it because you have been fighting for years. Only your son can build the temple of God because he is the son of peace. This temple should be built by him. You know, if I am David, I may be very sad, you know. How come? I have a heart for God. I want to serve him. I want to glorify him. But, oh God, why can't I build the temple for you? But David submitted to God. David totally submitted himself to the sovereignty of God. And so he still worshiped God. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Although I cannot build a temple for you, still I am happy because I'm doing your will. So at last, you know, because of his totally submission to the Lord, at last, when after he died, there was a very beautiful comment for him. It is written in the book of Acts. The Acts chapter 13, verse 36. Shall we read it all together? 1, 2, 3. When David has served God's purpose, say together, God's purpose, he is willing to submit to the will of God. Serve God for God's purpose, not for his own will. He really wants to serve God. He really wants his whole life to be pleasing to God. So this is a wonderful comment. So someday if I died, Vic is younger than me. When I die, today when I die, please remember that I love this verse, you know. Now, when Pastor Edmund Chung had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. Hallelujah. I don't know what your will is. Maybe some people may have a passion. Oh, I want to do great things on earth. I want to go to be successful on earth. But what does it mean by successful? Earning more money? Yeah, maybe. Building a big church? Yeah, maybe. Bring up the children? Yeah, maybe. All these are good things. But how can we define success? It is difficult to measure, you know. People varies. We are living in different conditions, different times. It is very, very difficult to measure whether you are more successful or you are more successful. No, it's very difficult. But the most important criteria of success is when you are fully fulfilling the will of God on earth. Amen? God has his purpose for each and every one of you. If God called you to be missionary, you should serve him wholeheartedly as a missionary. Do his will. Fulfill his will. David served God's purpose in his own generation and he fell asleep. This is worship. Worship is to the will of God. Whatever you do, you will pray. You may pray, oh Lord, is this the way you want me to do? If you are still unmarried, when you are choosing your future partner, pray unto the Lord, oh Lord, help me to choose the right partner for me. I don't want to make my own decision. I want to intervene into my marriage. Oh Lord, help me. You know, when I decided to serve in the seminary, I pray and pray and pray and pray. Oh Lord, I've been pastor for years. I've been pastoring for years. Is it your will that I should serve in the Bible school? I pray. I don't mean that I'm a successful person. I don't want to be successful in the eyes of ordinary people. I really want to be successful in the sense that I'm willing, I am fully committing, submitting to the will of God. Amen? And praise the Lord. Amen. And sir. And in my mind, I'm not thinking of what I should do. I'm not thinking what I should do in the future for myself. I'm thinking how God can use me in that area. Fully submitting to the will of God. Including your marriage, your career, your finance, and everything. We pray to our Lord, not according to our desire. People may think that, oh, I am here to just earn money, earn money, earn money, earn money, earn money, earn money, earn money. Earning money is just part of our life purpose. Oh, maybe not really a life purpose. Just a portion of your life activity. Hallelujah. Even you are strong. Even you are very talented. Earning money is just a very, very small portion of your life. 2 weeks, 2 days ago, I had dinner with a friend. He brought me to Shenzhen, in mainland, Shenzhen. And then we have dinner together. And when we return, he told me, oh, I'm thinking of retirement. Oh, you are retiring? You're still not at the age of 60. Oh, I'm thinking of retirement. Because I don't have any real necessity. Spending money for me is not that significant. I think I can survive. Oh, you can survive. So you do not need to bother about earning money. Yeah, I don't want to bother. Then what's the purpose of retirement? I really want more time to serve God. Amen. I really want to spend the rest of my time to serve God. So I want to retire early. I don't want to just earn money, earn money, earn money and do nothing for God. I really want to serve God. So putting down some of my working time and I just want to spend more time going elsewhere to do missions, helping the pastors and all that. Wow, I really love this man. He's really have a man who really want to serve God. Brothers and sisters, do the will of God. Say together, do the will of God. That is worshiping. So David submit himself to the sovereignty of the Lord. Thirdly, a real worshiper, a genuine worshiper, treasure the relationship with the Lord. Say together, relationship with the Lord. He is really fearful of losing God. He did not want to stand away from God. He really treasured that relationship. He, just like us, maybe we are like him. We are weak. Sometimes we will fall into temptation. Sometimes we will fall into sin. Just like David. David is just an ordinary man. Although he is a good worshiper, he's an ordinary man. He has his passion. He has his lust. He has his weakness. And one day, when he maybe woke up too late, tell your neighbor, don't wake up later. Maybe he woke up later. It's about the time of sunset. And he woke up. Oh, look. And he saw a beautiful woman taking bath. Wow, a beautiful woman taking bath. And he has a lust in his heart. And he asked, who's that lady? She's Bathsheba. Call him here. And then David has intercourse with that lady. And after that, Bathsheba told David, oh, David King, I am pregnant. Pregnant? How come pregnant? Get pregnant? Who's his husband? Husband is Uriah. Uriah? Call Uriah to come back. He is your soldier, one of your soldiers. He's fighting now for you in the war. Just call him back, call him back. You'll be happy with his wife. Okay, call him back, call him back. But Uriah is really a good soldier. And he did not want to go back home and enjoy together with his wife. And so he stayed away from home. And because he wanted to fight for the nation and fight for David. And David told him, don't bother about fighting. Just come home. But still, Uriah is too good. And so he did not go back home. And the husband did not go back home. How come the wife become pregnant? And so David has a problem. How to handle these things? And finally, he ordered his general to make a trick and put Uriah in the wall. And then all of a sudden, all other soldiers retreat and left Uriah in the war field. And then that means Uriah died in the war. Oh, the husband died. Okay, the husband died. Then he took his wife home. Bathsheba becomes David's wife. David think that, oh, no one know this. I'm doing that because the wife is too beautiful, you know. And I have not killed him. He's just killed in the war. And so I just took care of the wife. So, you know, I'm so good. I took care of his wife. And prophet Nathan came to David. He told David a story. King David, can I tell you a story? Oh, sure, go ahead. No, there was a rich man, a lot of land in the house. He's so rich. But his neighbor is a very, very poor guy. He only has one lamb, a little lamb. And he loved the lamb, eat with the lamb, sleep with the lamb. He really loved his only lamb. But one day, a guest came over. And the rich man did not want to kill one of his lamb. Instead, he took the poor guy's lamb and then slaughtered it and then gave it to his guest. And David was very, very angry. Oh, how come? As far as the Lord lives, this man should die because he has no pity. And prophet Nathan told David, you are the man. I don't know how you respond if you are King David. You know, in our Chinese culture, the king can do anything. You? Nathan, go out, stop shutting your mouth. Don't tell anybody else. You know? Otherwise, I'll kill you. Or probably now, today, I'll kill you. You know, our Chinese king always like to cut head, you know? Cut head. Huh? Don't tell anything against the king. This is the first response I can imagine. Just kill Nathan. That's it. Finished. Second way, hey Nathan, you are too outdated, you know. I have a lot of concubines, taking one more, no problem. Don't say that again. You are my prophet, okay, I respect you. Stop saying that anymore, you know. You know how many wives I have? I just take one more. Oh. So King David can say anything, he's the king. He can kill anyone. Who can take any wives? But King David, all of a sudden, he say to Nathan, oh, I have sinned against the Lord. I have sinned against the Lord. Killing somebody for David is just an easy task. He has been warrior for years. He's killed a lot of people. Taking wives, he has a lot of wives. But in this small just small things. Just for David, it's just small. It's just a little things that people will not take care. And this David said that, I have sinned against the Lord. He sincerely repents because he do not want to offend the Lord. He do not want the Lord to leave him. He really treasure the relationship with the Lord because of his lack of pity. Because he has killed someone who is innocent. Because he has taken wife from this innocent and faithful soldier. And he has a lot of other things. But this couple, Uriah and Bathsheba, they love each other. But David killed the husband and took the wife. The Lord is very, very unhappy. And David said, oh, forgive me. Brothers and sisters, he is a really sincere heart of repentance. He, because of his power, he can kill anyone. Who can stop anyone from talking about all these things. But he really repents. I have sinned against the Lord. And so we read a very, very important repenting psalm in the Bible. It is Psalm chapter 51. And for the director of music, we read it. A psalm of David. When the prophet Nathan came to him after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. When he has committed adultery with Bathsheba, he confessed his sin. He sincerely confessed his sin unto the Lord and said to the Lord, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgression and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Brothers and sisters, the most remarkable thing here is it is written as a psalm. It is written and so that the whole choir will sing. And then it will be sung for years. Wow, brothers and sisters. He is a king. He has a face, you know, face. He's a face. Even if he has done something wrong. In our Chinese culture, we cannot say anything against the king. But King David really confessed and wrote this song. And then in this scripture, he said that, go and sing for him. If the pastor, say for example, oh, have done something wrong. And he has written a song for confession. And then ask, Pastor Wick, go ahead and lead the whole choir to sing this song for me. And then it should be sung for years. Can you remember? Can you imagine? You know, it's difficult to imagine how a confession song should be sung for years. And this is King David. Go ahead and sing this. I am wrong. And the psalm continue. In the following verse, the psalm, King David said, Oh Lord, hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Create me in me a pure heart, O God, and a renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence. This is the real thing. Do not cast me out from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. This is David. He really treasured the relationship with the Lord. A real worshiper really treasured the relationship with the Lord. Somehow something will block our way. Somehow something may break our relationship with our Lord. Sin, iniquity, transgressions, all this will block our way with our Lord. Will break the relationship. Today when we sin, we sense that, wow, our relationship with God is too far away. Sometimes we fall into temptation. We feel that, oh God, don't leave me, don't leave me. All of us are human beings. We have our passion. We have our lust. We have our weaknesses. None of us are perfect. None of us are perfect. I also have my temper. Sometimes because of our lust, because of our sin, because of our pride, because of our bitterness, because of our hatred, we may do something that is not that good. And because of our sin, we may fall into a situation that our Lord may be, we seem to be far, 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 far away. Brothers and sisters, if you really treasure the relationship of our Lord, stand away from all this temptation and sin. These things is detrimental to the relationship of our Lord. But our relationship with our Lord is not just blocked by our sin. Sometimes it is blocked by something good. Some mother told me that, hey, Pastor Cheng, you know, my kid, he is still young. He need more time to study at home, so I cannot bring him here in the church. What can I say? Can I say that you are sinning? You are doing not good? No. The parent is just wanting the kids to have better academic achievement. So they make up their lesson, and they want to use the time to study, and then do not want to bring the kids to the church. If you really treasure the relationship with our Lord, you set this time to be holy. This time is a time of worshiping. Amen? This time is a very important time for our relationship with God. Although our kids are very important, although our work is very important, although other things are also very important, but worshiping our Lord is very, very, very important. Amen? Amen? Treasure the relationship with our Lord. That is real worship. Fourthly, finally, what is a real worshiper? A real worshiper will offer the best to the Lord. Say together, offer the best to the Lord. In the second Chronicles chapter 22, verse 14, it is said that David said, I have taken great pains to provide for the temple of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold, 1,000,000 talents of silver, quantities of bronze and iron, too great to be weighed, and wood and stone. Brothers and sisters, this is David. David take pains to offer to the Lord. Although his nation is great, although he is now very wealthy, he is the king, he still try his best, take pains to prepare all the resources for the temple. This is offering. Offering is worship. Hallelujah. That's why we put offering time in the midst of worshiping. We are worshiping God not just through our words, not just through our songs, not just through this musical instruments. We are worshiping God in a tangible way. Say together, tangible way. Offering is a time of worship. And in the book of Malachi, we read a very, very significant teaching from the Bible, from the prophet Malachi, about tithing. Shall we read it together? Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me, but you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offering, you are under curse. Your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. And see if I will not throw upon the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Offering. Brothers and sisters, this is tithing. 10% of our income, our harvest, unto our Lord. And this is offering. If we do not offer this tithe to our God, God said, it is robbing. Say together, robbing. Wow, how can we rob God? How can we rob God? But it is said that, wait, you are mortal, rob God. And you may say, yet, how?
How are we robbing you?
Because you stop tithing to me. The tithe belongs to me. It does not belong to you. You rob my portion.
It is very strong words. Rob God.
Tell your neighbor, don't rob God.
The tenth, the one tenth, the tithe belongs to God. And some people say, hey, I will not rob God. I have already given it. But I notice that some people may have different mindset. I've already given this tithe. But it is not just really tithe, because tithe means one tenth. One tenth means 10% of your income, 10% of your bonus, 10% of your net profit, 10% of your harvest.
But some people may just give 1%, 5%. A person wrote tithing. This year, 1,000 Hong Kong dollar. Next year, 1,000 Hong Kong dollar. Third year, 1,000 Hong Kong dollar.
Huh. How come? He doesn't have any increments. And 10 years passed, also still 1,000 Hong Kong dollar. Wow. No inflation. No increment of his income.
Actually, he earned more, much more than 10,000 a month. But he only give a few portion, a few percentage, and say it is tithing. It is not tithing. It is deduction. Deduction of his tithing. Tithing means one tenth. Say together, one tenth.
And some people may do it in another way. Oh, January one tenth, and then February stop, and March one tenth, and April stop. And then June stop. It is not one tenth, it's just 5%. And it is scripture. We read it, you know. You should bring the whole tithe. Say together, whole tithe. Whole tithe means 10%, not 5%, not 2%. It includes your regular income. It includes your bonus. It includes your net profit if you are doing business. One tenth. So if you're doing portion, you deduct God. Okay, God will also deduct some blessing from you. In proportion to what you gave. Oh, say together, whole tithe. And also, some people will do it very, very special, very strange way, I may say. Ah, you know, the Red Cross has some need, so I break some tithe and then donate to this organization. Oh, Pastor Cheung, you're serving in the seminary. Oh, the seminary need money, so I also break some of the tithe and then donate to the seminary. Brothers and sisters, I am not happy to rob the tithe from the church. If you are planning to donate to some other organization, do it on top of the one tenth. Because the one tenth is supposed to be donated into the storehouse of God. Say together, storehouse of God. And it is clearly said that the storehouse means that it is the place that store the bread for God. And it is said that if you give whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. That means it's the place that you receive the food, the whole of heavenly food from God. That is the church. So don't take the one tenth from the church and then put in the seminary. I am not happy with that. All the tenth, one tenth should be put in the storehouse of God, so that the house would have bread. Amen? Amen? And God will be happy. You know, this is worship. Some people will say, oh, Pastor, are you also Pastor Cheung? Huh? Oh, Pastor Cheung, hey, the church is so poor. The church lacks money, is that right? Oh, how much do you lack? Oh, okay, you lack this, okay, I will donate this. Brothers and sisters, it has nothing to do with the financial situation with the church. No matter the church is poor, no matter whether the church is rich, nothing to do with the church. It has to do with your worshiping heart. Amen? It's your worshiping heart. Even the church has no money. I will not ask you to give. I just ask the Lord to give. Hallelujah. We are worshiping full financial, substantial, tangible way. So when we give to our Lord, you know that it is part of your worship. It is not charitable activity. God is not that poor. Hallelujah. You know, the money you have is God's money. It's not yours money. Amen? Amen? Be a true worshiper. Say together, be a true worshiper. Shall we stand on our feet? Hallelujah. 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 God has been blessing us. Praise the Lord. But we should be a true worshiper of the Lord. A true worshiper is a person who really concerned about the glory of God, who pursued the glory of God, who totally submit to the will of God, and deeply treasure the relationship with God, and offer the best to the Lord. So we sing this.